Proverbs chapter 14 in your Bible, verse 34. Proverbs 14, 34. And then a secondary passage, 2 Chronicles 7, 14. Young pastor got his first church to serve as pastor, and so he wanted to come into that church and make an impact immediately, and so he prayed about it and decided the Lord was leading him to preach on hell. He really wanted to come in and make an impact early, right off the bat. And so he began preaching on Sunday mornings on hell, the subject of hell, get hot subject. So after about 3 weeks, after about his third sermon on hell consecutively, there at the end of the service, as the people came through to shake the pastor's hand, one of his little old senior adult ladies, about like Miss Thelma here, came through the line. One of those little white-haired ladies, but under the light, you had that blue tint to the hair. And if you look real closely out of the corner of her mouth, you might see a little bit of snuff right there. You know what that tuberose snuff? She came through and took the pastor's hand and said, "Pastor, I just want to tell you, we didn't know what hell was like till you came here." Amen. That has one of those dual interpretations. Was she talking about the subject he was preaching or his impact? Didn't know what hell was like till he had come there. Proverbs 14, verse 34 is not a lengthy verse of scripture at all, but a very straightforward and significant one. You might say good news, bad news, or in your bulletin, the sermon outline, the positive and the negative. For it says, righteousness exalteth a nation. That's the good news. That's the positive. But then look, but sin is a reproach to any people. That's the bad news. That's the negative. I still believe this is the greatest country in the world. If you believe that, say amen. I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud to be a Baptist preacher in this great country. But let's just be honest today and open. This our beloved country is in great trouble. Serious trouble. In fact, we're in a crisis mode. From sea to shining sea, we are witnessing the destruction of a nation right before our eyes. And regardless of which aisle of the side of the political aisle you may sit on, we're really not here today to talk about Republican or Democrat. I'm not here this morning to be politically correct nor socially acceptable. I hope today I'll be Mr. Boldness and be scripturally accurate. It's very clear that things are unraveling at rapid speed in this country. As a pastor for over 40 years, I've never seen our nation in the mess that it's in today. The United States of America, or has it virtually become the divided states of America? So that's our subject today, the United States or the divided states of America. Which one is it? I believe if we're all serious today, we'll be able to answer that question. From family breakdowns that are ruining our nation, because I really believe, like Dr. Billy Graham has said, that as the home goes, so goes the nation. And as the home goes, by the way, so goes the church. The immigration crisis that's peaking, nowhere near to be solved. It seems like no attempt to solve this immigration crisis. The rising inflation dilemma, go to the gas pumps and paying more and more for a gallon of gas. But add to the list the downward moral spiral of this nation. on that plate that I showed you earlier, that was the seal of the United States, and there in the very middle was the eagle. But years ago, Dr. Vance Havner said, great preacher of our generation, passed away several years ago. Dr. Vance Havner once said, we need to change our national symbol, the eagle, to the buzzard because of the problems of our nation. But maybe the greatest problem is the lukewarm condition of our churches, as I preached on the other Wednesday night, the lukewarm condition of our country, churches. So we're a nation, we're a people sliding south rapidly. Let me put it another way, we're going down the tubes fast. The American dream seemingly is quickly becoming the American nightmare. Think about it. In the midst of this crisis, listen carefully because this involves us here at Park Place Baptist Church. In the midst of this crisis, God's church seems to be of little influence, little impact. We're supposed to be the light. We're supposed to be the salt, but I believe we've lost our flavor. And the light is going out quickly. The church seems to be silent on things that once stood up and spoke against. Now we're silent. We're keeping our mouths shut. We seem to be helpless and in many cases hopeless. What we need in America is a real spiritual awakening. My great pastor friend, who was really my Paul and I was his Timothy, Dr. Al Reich, still alive, still preaching. I heard him say years ago, what we need is a spiritual awakening. Dr. Wright, I don't know if he coined that phrase, but it was something he said very frequently. A real revival. The question is, will it happen? Is it too late? Someone once said, nothing is ever too out of reach that God cannot revive it. So that's our only hope, is to get back to God before it's too late. So again, notice our text. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. You see, this morning, the problem with our country today, let's just put it all out today. The problem with this country, and especially with our churches, is not that God is not near. The problem is that we have gotten away from God. Can I get a witness right there? Gotten away from God, distances from God, and gotten away from the Word of God, and the standards of God, the Scriptures of God. As a result, we're undergoing the consequences, and we're dearly paying the price. So just two simple things today from this passage, as I've already alluded to. Notice number one, the positive. Righteousness exalteth a nation. What do we mean by the word righteousness? You may want to write it down. It just means living right. Righteousness means being in right standing, in right relationship with God. Our nation as a whole is far from being righteous. And then notice exalteth. It means righteousness exalteth or lifts up to a higher standard. Righteousness exalteth a nation. That's the positive. Now, are we seeing some light at the end of the tunnel? As Chris alluded to here recently, two significant examples, Supreme Court decisions. First of all, reversing Roe versus Wade. Who would have ever thought that would happen? For all of these years, millions, listen, millions upon millions, innocent infants have been murdered. Listen, they may call it abortion. They may say it involves or really means women have their rights, but listen, what about the right of that little child? And most abortions occur when that little infant inside that mother's womb feels the pain of that technique that puts it to death. But the Supreme Court reversed it, puts it back into the hands of the states. Who would have ever thought that would happen? And then also, as Chris alluded to, the football coach, which I used to be one, and basketball at East Davison, Ledford, around there, brother at Ledford, we go back a long way, don't we? Allowing Christian prayer back into our public schools. Who would have ever thunk it? I remember my senior year of high school, probably one of the best years, maybe the best year of my life for many reasons, 1967. In Mr. Graham's homeroom there at Thomasville High School. I believe he was the last principal, by the way, of this desecrated remains of a school across the street. Mr. Graham, and I think he's still alive. I hope maybe one day to find him and see how he is. He was my homeroom teacher. And I remember there in that homeroom, he didn't make us, didn't force us, but he allowed students every morning in the classroom and our homeroom before we went out the first period and the rest of the day to have devotions. And I also remember over the intercom reading a passage of scripture and prayer right there at Thomasville High School. There at East Davison, I remember the last year we were there, 1976-77 season, the football team put on their gold helmets, the initials PTL. You know what PTL stood for or stands for? Praise the Lord. That football team, we had the Lord's Prayer before every game. Coach Howard Hayes, still alive in his, I think, early 90s or mid-90s. Prayed before the game, prayed after the game. Had the privilege of starting three Fellowship of Christian Athletes in three different high schools, Ledford, East Davison, and Davie County. As far as I know, they're all still involved with Fellowship of Christian Athletes. So all this to say, righteousness exalteth a nation. We have a great heritage and a great history that we do not need to see disappear. But then notice the verse has a negative, but sin. Sin is a reproach to any people. Notice that word reproach. It even has a bad sound. It means sin is a reproach. It means a shame or a disgrace. Let me give you three quick things about sin, but very applicable. If you're here today in this service and you're engaged in sin, number one, you may want to write these down. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. It will. That's the design of sin, the purpose of sin. Satan is the master deceiver. Sin will take you farther than you ever want to go if you go that far. Number two, sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. And number three, sin will cost you more than you can ever pay. Think about that. That's the impact, the power of sin. Avoid it. Live righteously. It'll take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, cost you more than you could ever pay. Sin abounds in our country today. Sin abounds in our communities. Right around this church, sin abounds. Sin abounds in our churches. Do you realize just about every Sunday and just about every church, you'll have those who come in, sit on the church pews, and living in a life of sin, just like the sin that's out there in the world. Sin abounds in our classrooms. Critical race theory is one thing. But listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. Teaching our little children, maybe even younger than first grade, kindergarten, teaching little young children about this transgenderism mess. Now, I'm old school. I'm old fashioned. I'm fundamental. I'm conservative. I'm come too far to turn back now. And it just disgusts me. Makes me want to regurgitate. You know what that means? That means to vomit or to puke or throw up. Let me just step out away from the pulpit and be a little bit of Mr. Boldness today. I cannot imagine a man wanting to be a woman. I can't imagine a woman wanting to be a man. And we've all heard about the bathroom issues. I'm telling you, if a man dressed up in a skirt went in the bathroom, tried to hurt my little grandchild, I believe I beat him half to death and then asked the Lord, forgive me. Can't get a witness right there. And now teaching our little children in public schools that it's all right for them to question their transgenderism. A little boy to question whether or not he wants to be a girl, or a little girl to question whether he wants to be a boy. Listen, it's really a simple matter. It's really a simple matter, and here's Mr. Boldness for you. Again, I told you, I'm not here to be politically correct or socially acceptable, but just biblically accurate. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, and this Wednesday night, by the way, we're going to study Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, the very first verse in the Bible. I believe the most key verse in the Bible. If you can't get past Genesis 1, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1, you just need to close your Bible and forget it. In the beginning, what? God created. And down in verses 26, 27, God created male and female, He created them. Here's how a little boy or a little girl can know their gender. You want to know how? They just need to take their britches and pull it out a little bit and look. If you got a certain anatomy, you're a boy. If you don't have that anatomy, you're a girl. Can I get a witness right there? That's all they need to know. So we don't need to teach. We shouldn't allow. And listen, anybody in a public school classroom that tries to get by with that or is doing that is a pervert. I heard Dr. Mark Robinson, I don't know if he's got a doctor or not, our lieutenant governor. Have you ever heard him speak? Or what about preach? He was preaching at Beulah Baptist Church this morning, Dr. Neil Jackson's church down at Bennett. I've heard Brother Robinson speaks several times. He doesn't speak, he preaches. He's the kind of governor we need to lead this state. He'll get that filth out of our schools. Transgenderism, same-sex marriage, all of these things. Sin is a reproach to any people. So I think sin has overridden out in our nation and for several years, but particularly these last few things are going on. Sin is overriding the righteousness that ought to be exalting our nation. Sin is pulling it down, bringing it to shame. Sin is bringing this nation to a disgusting low level like we've never seen. So in 2 Chronicles 7:14, let's look at this verse before we go back to our homes. In strict interpretation, this is in Jewish context, obviously in the Old Testament. Centuries and centuries ago, but racing forward to 2022, the 246th birthday of our country, 2 Chronicles 7:14 is, I believe, a recipe for revival, a recipe for spiritual awakening. So we're going to take it with strict interpretation and give it over to spiritual application. In other words, this antiquated verse of Scripture is very relevant for us today when we look at it and examine it. Notice it in your Bible, 2 Chronicles 7:14. And by the way, it's the Lord speaking. If my people, which are called by my name, let's pause there. Is the church today not the people of God? If you're saved today, born again as a blood-washed believer, are you and I, a Baptist preacher or Baptist church member, saved by the grace of God, are we not the people of God? If, by the way, is the biggest two-letter word in our vocabulary. Why, Preacher Andy, I'd do this if. Or I'd be involved in the church if. And then the biggest three-letter word is but. I've heard all the buts I care to hear. Oh, Preacher Andy, I do this for the Lord, but, or if. If my people, which are called by my name, notice number one, shall humble themselves. Royals' interpretation or explanation, get off their high horse. Do away with pride and arrogance. We need to humble ourselves as a nation. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, notice, and pray. Remember the other Sunday I said a prayerful church is a powerful church, but a prayerless church is a what? Powerless church. I think here at Park Place we need to just keep saturating our own selves with prayer. Until this miraculous thing of coming together with Green Street Baptist Church brings our church back to life again. One Sunday in the near future, see many more people in this building than we see now. Prayer's the key. Shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. In the Hebrew, that means to come press your face against the face of God. Seek the face of God. Seek my face, God says. And then notice, and turn from their wicked ways. That's repentance. Repentance means to turn. Turn from direction you're going. Turn, make an about face, and go in the other direction. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then notice, then. I call this the if-then verse of Scripture. God says, notice, then will I hear from heaven. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, if we don't deal with our sin, our prayers won't get any higher than the roof or the ceiling. I will hear from heaven, God says, and I will forgive their sin, God says, and I will heal their land. Is that not the need of the hour for this country? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then God says, and this is a covenant, this is a commitment from God himself, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, heal their land. Again, the problem with this country of ours, with our communities, with our classrooms, and especially with our churches. The problem today is not that God is not near. The problem is that we have distanced ourselves from God. Listen today, the problem is not the White House, not who's in there that we call the president. The problem's not the Congressional House, not who's in there in majority, Republican or Democrat. Although, let me inject, not being politically correct, but let me just inject what happens in November could be the turning point of this nation. You better vote. That's all I'm going to say. You better vote. The problem in our country, listen to this, is not the White House, not the congressional house. The problem is the church house. The Bible says judgment must begin first at the house of God. Listen this morning, get the home right. Get our marriages back right. By the way, the definition of marriage, God's blueprint for marriage is a man and a woman getting married, not a man marrying a man, not a woman marrying a woman. Get our homes right. Raise our children right. Teach our children right. Discipline our children right. Men and women staying together in marriage through thick and thin. And then getting the church right. Get the church back being the church Jesus intends it to be. Jesus said, upon this rock, referring to himself, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against her. That means we ought to charge hell with a water pistol. Can I get a witness right there? The church needs to stand up, speak up, and be the light and the salt that God intends it to be. This still can be a great country, but we've got to have great leadership. We've got to have godly leadership. This country can be turned around. I believe that. Will it happen? The ball's in our court. Christian people have got to put Christian people in leadership. Hey, I'm encouraged, Brother Chris. Supreme Court decisions. But you can mark this down. Because of those decisions, all hell's going to break loose again and attack us. Prayer in public schools not only means Christian prayer, but it also will mean what? Satanic prayer. Muslim prayer. Teaching our little children about transgenderism needs to be eliminated. Wiped from the slate. Church, wake up. Church, stand up. Church, speak up. Or we're going to lose this country. We're that close to losing it. That close. We have a responsibility to be the people of God. Righteousness exalts a nation, lifts it up to a higher standard. But sin is a reproach, a shame, a disgrace to any people.